See? When the God Spirit comes down and begins to move on His people, and they begin to claim the faith in God, my friend, anything can happen. That is the time when healing begins to come to the people of God, not only in bodies, but in spirits and in souls. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know the Bible tells us to be clean in our bodies and in our souls and in our spirits? It talks about in our spirits. He wants a cleanness of spirits that have not entered into and accepted any other spirit. And you know, God moves at times like these. These are the most valuable times. Most valuable times. I cannot overemphasize the importance of entering in. Some people, when things like this happen, they are in such a mental block that they just clam up and wait till it's over so something can happen. Times like this, there is more accomplished than in 2 or 3 years of structured meetings where it's solical but not spiritual. When the Spirit is moving, when God's Spirit is moving, people say, well, aren't the others spiritual? In nature, yes, but in actuality, oftentimes not. When God's Spirit is moving actively and your spirit is taking the whole of it, that is the time that God can do the deepest work in you. That's the time you make your deepest dedications. That's the time you shuck off these demons. The demons have to leave. They hate services like this. They don't mind you getting up and reciting liturgies and singing some songs you don't believe and are not going to follow. But when you get really believing God, they get scared. This is the time when God can do the deepest work in people. There were some people here tonight, I noticed, that they were in trouble. No, I don't mean necessarily off the bluff, but they were really shook. They were really heavily disturbed. And tonight I saw them absolutely free and rejoicing. That is, in just a few moments of time, the Holy Spirit came down and through the unity of faith and worship of the believers, they were joined in spirit with them, with God, and God's Spirit just set them free. You could take them out to a counseling room and talk for 6 hours and never get the same result. You can put them down over, bend them over a bench and pray for them for hours and not get the same result. In fact, you see there's some people say, well, why do we sing this song over and over again? I was just waiting for it to stop. Then you weren't involved. Personally, I could have gone on for another hour. And I'm not exaggerating. To me, it was marvelous. I was just drinking it in. I was rejoicing in it. And I saw you were too, most of you. I sense that faith is really high in this place. I also sense determination to get free and walk in sanctity is very high. And that is a wonderful sign. And the devil is so scared and upset. Now, don't be surprised if he doesn't come knocking at your door in the middle of the night. Don't be surprised if he doesn't come and tempt you. Just stick your tongue out at him and shut the door. Don't have anything to do with him. Do like Brother Wigglesworth did. When he heard a knock at the door, scraping, notice a scraping, scratching. He said, in the middle of the night, what's that? And he went down and he opened the door and heard this manifestation of a demon. Standing right there is demon force. You see, he had been battling in the spirit demonic forces. He recognized them. He knew what they were. A demon even came to Martin Luther, according to church history. Appeared right there before him. Spoke to him. He threw his inkwell at him. And there's a big ink splot all over the wall of his study that they're still pointed to by guides as this is the spot where he threw the inkwell at the devil. Of course, the modern theologian, he just got, see. But that thing stood there and reminded him of his sins. And he said, you write the name of the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all sin and be gone. He was so upset at that demon. He saw that thing. It stood right there. It spoke to him. He threw that inkwell at him. Brother Wigglesworth came down, he opened the door, and there was that demonic apparition, said it standing right there just like a being. And he said, oh, it's you. And he closed the door and locked it, went up back to bed. He wasn't going to dialogue with him. He wasn't going to fool with him. He wasn't going to accuse him. He wasn't going to do anything with him. Oh, it's you. Didn't even bother to ask what he wanted. See, he knew better than to strike up any conversation. He wasn't interested in him. We need to really, that's what you call the ultimate understanding of hanging up on the devil. Don't invite him into the house and he can't do business with you. Our problem is we've invited him in to discuss. Whenever you invite a salesman into your house and give him a couple hours, you're liable to buy something. But if you say no before he gets started, when they say, hello, I represent, and you say, I'm sorry, I'm not interested, thank you anyway, click. He can't sell you anything. And the devil can't sell you a thing if you just won't open up to him. Now, I have felt several weeks ago, and the conviction has stayed with me. I suspect, it comes the same way I receive other things. I suspect it's the spirit of revelation. I don't know when, exactly how, or anything else, but I really expect, and perhaps tonight has even been a foretaste of that, I expect that we are going to see great masses of people delivered at the same time. Now, I say that to say this. People are so rut-oriented, it's absolutely pathetic. They are all traditional, fad-oriented, rut-oriented. That when God moves and somebody gets heat in their hands, everybody's got to have heat in their hands. If they shake, everybody's got to become a Quaker. If somebody falls, they've all got to fall, and they all got to establish falling. And people are such absolute copycat, it's absolutely terrible. And we've got to open up, not to copy. And if anything happens one way, we all want to run in and do it the same way. I have felt that God is going to deliver people en masse. These are the kind of services that God's going to do it in. Now, there may be other things happen. And there may be other gifts and authority and powers and various things. But this is the type of thing when God's Spirit begins to move. Do you know when God's Spirit moves like this, there have been people slain in the Spirit by the hundreds, filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, in times past, in the hundreds. This is the time when God really moves, when people begin to lose sight and worship. Our biggest problem is we are so earthbound. I'm going to preach a sermon in case you don't know it. I feel to do this. I kept writing down notes down here. I felt so mob. I'm just going to preach you my notes. Is that okay? I got something in here, but I'm not going to pay any attention to that tonight. I'm going to tell you something else in a minute about what we're going to do next week. It's changed. But I felt so wonderful and kept writing down these things as they were coming to me and as these different things were coming to my mind. And I believe that God wants to do unprecedented things. And He's not going to follow the patterns of the past. You can't go back and read Finney and Moody and Wesley and find out what God's going to do. If you copy that revival, you're back in the dark ages, as it were. God is going on to new things. Hallelujah. Now, Tommy Hicks went down and was in Argentina at the time. And there, you know, before him, William Branham had long lines, one by one. He prayed for so many that he just went under. They had to carry him a couple of times, literally carry him from the meeting. He could not walk. He had such a strain, he could not handle it. Brother Ray came along and said, Lord, he's such a little man and a feeble man. I'm big and strong and young and healthy. Give me this gift, Lord, so I don't have to stop at 2,000 like he did. And so God gave him that gift, because he usually didn't pray for 2,000. It was usually close to half that number. But one night he prayed for 2,000. God gave him the gift, and he stood up and he said, and I was in the meeting, he stood up and he said, I limit myself to 50. That's all I can handle. And I knew why. His ministry showed he did not have the same humility. God wouldn't give him the same power. That man had trouble with pride with 50. And he thought he might do 300 and 400 and 500 because he was so big and strong. This thing doesn't come by self-effort, but by the Lord. Tommy Hicks got down there. Crowds, I mean like 30 to 60,000. He said, Lord, what am I going to do? There's no way that I can reach all these people. There are so many of them. If I follow the traditions before me of Branham and Jeffries and Chris and Erickson, Clifton Erickson, and Jack Cole and Moore and Jenkins and all the rest of these, he said, they're coming in faster than I can. He said, I can't reach them. I don't have time. The meetings won't even go on that long. We don't have the auditoriums that long. There's no way you can possibly meet them. We look out over this auditorium and say, now let's see now. 6 hours each. 1, 2, 3. We got 20,000. 2,000 people roughly. 6 times 2 is 12. That's 12,000 hours. Now let's see. At 40 hours a week, if we went full time, and you ever sort of figure that out logistically? He said, how long is that going to wait till I get to me? It might be 2.5, 3 years. And the Spirit of the Lord came down upon him. And I don't remember the story exactly, but I know the basic thing of it. That the Lord said, just pray for the people. I'll reach out and heal them as the Spirit of the Lord comes down in mass. And they were healed by the thousands at once. At once. God just began to heal them by the thousands. You can get free by the thousands. I know some things I do know. And some of the things I do know is that the way people always do things is not the only way things can be done. I also know that you just can't decide, okay, I'm going to take the best of the crop and go out and we're going to do that from now on. That won't work either. You see, God will not allow man to corral this thing and decide how it's going to be done. God will move according to His Spirit. And when you try to copycat something, you'll fall flat on you. You'll fall flat as can be. And I remember in what was called the Latter Rain Revival, God came down one night He came down in what we call the Heavenly Choir. We've never saw anything like that before that time. I've never seen anything else like it since that time. It was nothing like any cosmetic Pentecostal, Neo-Pentecostal, Community Chapel, Costal meeting I have ever been in. And that church was so impacted, every service for the next year, I think they tried to get that back. They tried to sing to bring it back. It never came back. I mean, they sang in the Spirit just like we do and other churches do. But that move never came back. You know, if angels have appeared in tent meetings, but he couldn't get him back again. God does not want us to get ourselves, you know, on a particular thing, but on Him. He does not want us to make a fetish out of oils, lines, pearl claws, hands, methods, crosses, brazen crosses, anything but Him. And if God's people will open up for mammoth, great, marvelous things, according to your faith, so be it unto you. If you'll open up for big things, you're going to receive big things. But if you've got your mind in some narrow rut that it has to be that man who prays for me, and I got to stand in line, I got to do this, you're going to be bypassed in a lot of these things. But if we'll just open up to the Lord and trust Him, He is still waiting for people willing to trust Him to do marvelous things. Now, some of you say, well, I don't know about all this stuff going on. This seems to me just a lot of, you know, it's this, so forth. I'm telling you, friend, you measure these things by what happens on the inside and the fruit. And I feel like Billy Bray, when they begin to accuse him of being a fanatic, he said, you ought to be locked up. He said, I would rather be locked up with what I have than be running loose with what I had. And you know, this is so wonderful. If this be fanaticism, then we are for fanaticism. Now, I'm not for fanaticism because this is not fanaticism. Fanaticism basically is going beyond God. This is not going beyond God. God is in it. You cannot measure things by the outward. You go back to, well, I just believe in the good old Bible way. Oh, you do? David danced before the ark. Clap your hands and make a joyful noise before the Lord. The Bible tells us, you know, here was Daniel laying on his face, and the angel set him on his hands and knees. What's so sanctified, what's so ecclesiastical about that? Felt like dead man, said John. Like a dead man. Felt like a dead man. We've saw some of that. Some of the elders retreats. Felt like a dead man. I mean, there's a lot of things. See, these are things that, you say, my, wouldn't that be fanatical? It's in the Bible. It's amazing how many people see things in the Bible that are so unusual, no trouble believing it, but God ever does it today. He already said, greater are the things than these that I've done, so you do. Some people, they can't accept anything different than what Jesus. Well, I don't see what Jesus ever did that. Jesus said, greater things than these that I have done shall ye do because I go to my Father. So what are we expecting? No greater things? Only the exact same things? It's amazing how people will contradict the Word of God in their own mind and require that which the Bible explicitly says otherwise. Hallelujah. Faith is at a high place. And what I feel led to do is this. You know, I talk about these meetings we're going to have Monday night, all day Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I now believe this. And everything is subject to change. And if you're not here, you won't receive the announcement. Some people aren't here tonight. Well, I was here this morning. You're here this morning, you didn't get what was here tonight. You see, you just can't, it isn't just enough. Well, I make one out of three. Well, how about the third one? Well, I made salvation and I made the Holy Ghost. I mean, I made two out of three. I just missed the rapture. Two out of three isn't always good enough. God does things on the third night that you needed specifically. That message was specifically for you and you weren't there. You decided, you and your demon decided to stay home that night and rest. No. You know how I mean that. I mean, because these spirits do say, I just think I'll just stay home tonight and, of course that's what they decide. They don't want you to go there. And so that demon comes along and says, I think I'll go just stay home tonight. And I just say, yeah. Uh-huh. Just follow him along like we got you on a string. I think I'll do this. That wasn't you thinking any such thing. But you thought, so away you went. How about somebody taking a policy and saying, the Bible says, neglect not the assembling of yourselves all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. I know I need every bit of the Lord's work I can. I know that God moves differently in every service. There's something there for me and I'm going to get it. And I am going to follow and be in the house of God every opportunity because what is outside? It's nothing. This is a building for us and I'm going to be built. You see, when you stand on principles, you always go further. Then when you just go by, oh, my body is tired, so. So what? You're going to give in to your body all the time? Your body is your God? You bow down to your body? The spirit is weak, but the flesh is strong? And whatever the body says I will do, I deny the spirit and follow the body? That's what a lot of people are doing. Just following the bodily feelings. Following however they feel. Remember that minister I told you about a number of years ago? He was out there preaching in the field and he was having so much pains inside, hunger pains. He would growl, you know, and somebody would growl. And he finally slapped and said, shut up, you beast. Down, you beast. We'll feed you later. You behave yourself. Right now, just be quiet. See? In other words, deny yourself a little bit. Sure, I'm hungry. You don't have to give in to every... How can we have to give in to every physical hunger, but not every spiritual hunger? We have been victims of material. Instead of the spiritual world, which is infinitely far more valuable. We see with natural eyes, but we cannot see with spiritual eyes oftentimes. We've got to look at things in eternal perspectives. Every decision you make should be made in regards to an eternal perspective. People say, well, I just don't know whether I should go back and leave you and go back there. And what do you think? Give me counsel. You really could give yourself counsel if you just said, what is best for eternity? For souls and spirituality, that would answer the biggest part of your questions most of the time. What would God want? Yea, my son, leave this place that I have called you where the Lord is moving and delivering people. Go out to that far place and take that job. Yes, take that engineering job because I want you wearing those alligator shoes and silk shirts. Yes, I want you to drive a Mercedes-Benz. Yes, and have a big palatial house and a yacht. For that is my will for your life. You will suffer spiritually, but the material is the thing that I am really interested in for you. Yes, you'll be pulling your children out of Christian school and your wife will be distraught. But you go ahead and do that. That would be my will for you. Now, can you imagine a prophecy ever coming like that? But people say, well, I don't know what he wants me to do. Should I go back and farm or should I? Let's just use our spiritual head. We're pilgrims and strangers. There isn't long left. The whole world's going down the drain. World government is coming. Eternal life lays before us. Moses gave up the whole kingdom for it. What about you? You don't know what God wants you to do? I know what he wants you to do. He wants you to do that which will bring you to the highest spiritual place as possible. That's what he wants you to do. Now what we're going to do, every night we're going to have a meeting. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. Unless the Lord will leave otherwise, this is how I'm feeling right now. I'm going to have a service here. I'm going to be speaking a bit. Keith's going to be speaking. We're going to just kind of do... Keith has some things to bring. Tonight he kind of felt like, well, he just felt, maybe you should bring some perspectives and maybe ask me some questions that people might want to know and just kind of let it go however it goes and so forth. He said, well, we'll just let it go however it goes. He said, he felt comfortable with that. That's what we're doing. I feel tonight to bring this to you, what I'm bringing. So tonight I'm doing this. Tomorrow night Keith may be bringing principles. We may both be. I don't know, but we're going to be having a meeting. But in the morning, not Monday now, because Monday they're cleaning until 7:30. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in the morning, up until service time, we will be holding these prayer and deliverance meetings, just like we've been. In the evening, we're going to have a service. We may sing and praise the Lord. We may pray for people. We don't know anything about how their service is going to go. They're not going to go any way necessarily like any other service you've necessarily been in. They're never necessarily going to have a quitting time. We may be praying for people afterwards. We don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to have a service. So, if you want to get in on it, come. Now, what we're going to do is this. We're going to cancel Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night Bible college next week. I want, Jack, on the doors of the classes, a notice sent. It said, this class has been suspended this week only because of these services, and if you had been here Sunday night, you would have known that. And then to explain what we're going to do for the next 2 weeks. That means you see they're missing an hour in each subject, missing an hour. What we're going to do the following 2 weeks is we're going to let each class go on 1/2 hour longer than usual. So the class that would meet, what time does the first class meet, Jack? What time does the first class in the evening meet? 7. 7 till 8, the first class. So we're going to go 7 to 8:30. Second class will start at 8:30 instead of 8. That'll go another half hour longer. See, won't that be a little bit of a strain? Sure, so what? If you want the Word of God, come and get it. 2 weeks only. Can't handle it for 2 weeks, you're never going to make it. If that's too big, if that's tribulation, brother, you haven't seen anything yet. That's what we're going to do. For 2 weeks, that way you won't miss any time, and we'll have the services too. The children are invited to come to the evening services, but not during the daytime. They can come in the evening. Okay. 7:30. Cancel music ministry. George says he's not going to be there. He's going to be healed. Okay. You know, Dwight L. Moody told this story, and I know some of you have heard it, but this old man came to him, and he was really disturbed because he said, I just can't seem to get forgiven. There was a sin I committed about 30 years ago, bad sin, and I have never been able to really get delivered in my soul for that. And Dwight L. Moody said, well, did you repent? And he said, yes. And he said, well, did God promise that if you repented, he would forgive you? And he said, yes. He said, did you sincerely repent? And he said, yes, I really did. And you told God that? And he said, yes. And you asked God to forgive you? And he said, yes. He said, well, do you think that God is honest? Would he back up his word? Is he a liar? Or is he a gentleman? That was the term he used. And he said, yes. He said, yes. Now I see it, and now I believe it. He said, now I've got the forgiveness. You see what the matter with him was? All that time, he let the devil lie to him. He did not believe the word for 30 years. He walked in condemnation what God forgave 30 years ago. Because he never opened his mind to believe that God was telling the truth. Once he accepted it on the basis of the word of God, he got the witness. There are a lot of people walking around, can't believe God loves them, can't believe God set them, God can't believe that he's done everything necessary, and because they can't feel it. I haven't felt it. It's not there. As soon as in a service like this, you let the Spirit of the Lord and truth come down, for you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and you begin to believe that I am free, you'll find out that you're free. You'll find out that he set you free back at Calvary, and you were free, but you didn't know you were free. He already has forgiven you, and you had a total release, and could praise the Lord, but you let the devil lie to you. And so you never opened up. Can people come before 7:30 tomorrow night and pray? Well, we're going to be praying from 10 right up to that time, so help yourself. Oh, tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, is Wayne Snowy here? What time can we come tomorrow, Wayne? 6:30. You can come at 6:30 to pray. Thank you. I think it'll be a problem. Do you think it'll be a problem? I don't think it'll be a problem though for that 1 hour. They can go ahead and come. When you come. You know, people say to me, well, tonight we sing the same song over and over and over again. You know, Keith told about that message I brought in a submission to wives, and he decided to have that woman do the taping. That was real wisdom. Do the taping for other people. And she taped this thing 34 times. And this thing was building inside. You see, Dr. Cho told a case. This woman came to him, she had cancer. Now, you see, you cannot just copycat. He did not do this with everybody that came along. Certain things come along. You know, Elisha didn't send everybody to dip 7 times in Jordan. That wasn't his SOP, standard operating procedure. Jordan is the place to dip. You know what to do. Everybody else does it, go down to Jordan. There wasn't long lines forming at Jordan. One person, it never happened again. And this woman came, she had cancer. Sometimes the Lord will have us deal with somebody in a unique way. You'll never deal with anybody else that way again. This is why it's so much folly to know how God did it with you and set up that as the precedent and tell everybody else that's how to get delivered and that's how to get healed and that's how to get the Holy Ghost and that's what to do because that's how it happened to me. That shows a total misunderstanding of how God moves. He said they had a prayer mountain, as they called it. They had a place up in the mountain they prayed. He said, go up a prayer mountain. And I want you to write, I am healed. Is that what it was? By his stripes, I am healed. How many times? 10,000 times. 10,000 times? You mean I have to do it 10,000 times? Why 10,000 times? You mean I got to dip in Jordan 7 times? See? Are not the waters of Abana and Pharpar better than Jordan? What's so magic about Jordan? She went up there in obedience to her pastor. She wrote and she wrote and she wrote, and when she got through 30,000 times, she was healed. That truth began to dispel the lies of the devil. By his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. By his stripes. After a while, you get so much data in there, by his stripes I am healed, that the lies of the enemy can't stand any longer. Another person, half hour later, he kind of comes through. And finally, after an hour, there's Mr. Slow coming in. See, I had the privilege tonight of looking downhill, and I saw Mr. Fence Post, Brother Fence Post. And I saw Brother Fence Post doing this. And I knew that Fence Post had been sent free. He'd been a fence post for a long time. Starched up, dried, poked in the ground. But God had set him free. It's marvelous. You know, Keith showed this, I'm sure he wants to show it again. Maybe he won't mind if I just steal a little piece of his thunder by saying this, because he already mentioned it. I'm teaching on this seminar, you know, on marriage seminar, and one of the things I've hit is submission. And one of the things I've hit is the first responsibility is of a woman to submit. And I'm going to hit that again. With another explanation for that. And I'm positive that is right. And I will be explaining that again later. But it's found out, what happens is, so many women manipulate their husbands, they run the house, they tell them what to do, but they do it in a way they don't know they're doing it. They are running him and the house, so he just backs up. And then they don't like him, making another decision. So he's driving along, and she says, "Oh, we better stop and pull him." She says, "Oh, there's a gas station. Get some gas over there if you want to." So he pulls in, he gets gas, and it costs $1.45.9. And she says, "Your tank's getting low." So he pulls in, he doesn't make any argument, and he goes on his way, and he drives two more blocks, and there's $1.23, and he gets upset inside, and he gets upset because he was not going to pull into there until his wife. Now, she didn't tell him to pull in. She only suggested. And he's upset. And he's upset for two reasons. First, he's mad at her because he's paid more for gas than he would have if she had not told him to pull in. Secondly, he's mad at himself because he wasn't man enough to do what he wanted to do. He really wanted to go on and look a little bit more. But the reason he pulled in is because of her. Now, he usually will say nothing, just get mad at himself. He's a little bit surly. She doesn't know why. Or there's just a damp inside this building. He just keeps in his morose deadness and doesn't show any love toward her. But she, if he brings it up, then she gets mad. Why are you blaming me? I only said if you want to do. You can do what you want. I wanted you to make the decision. I didn't do anything. But what she doesn't know is this. The reason he listened to her was because in the past he has 11,000 examples that when she gave a suggestion and he decided no, she rebutted him. Well, yeah, but this. Well, I think this. Well, why shouldn't we? But this, blah, 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 drip, 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 drip. See? Until finally, he got tired. He did not want to be a fighter. So he finally gave up and did whatever she suggested. I mean, all she had to do is just like a hypnotism. You can do this if you want to. Sure, that's what he wants to do. Anything she wants is what he wants, because he doesn't want the rebuff. He doesn't want the guff. And she doesn't know she's manipulating him. And when she finally learns and gets off his back, then he begins to make decisions. She's upset at him because he won't make decisions. Of course he won't. He has gotten tired of having decisions contested by all kinds of ghoulish, manipulative, under the covers, over the covers, through the covers, Round the covers, all these different ways of getting him to do. She wants him to be boss. It's just like the woman that says, well, honey, I want you to be boss. You just be sure to do it my way. See? I want you to be the boss, but I want you to be the boss the way I want it done. And when the wife learns this, then she finds her husband raises up to be the man. And then he can do things and be free. Then he can come out. You know what happens? He's released to do spiritual things too. He's released to be the head. He is so bound under there. He so hates his role. He hates his position. He's learned to accept it and doesn't even know it. He's given in, and so long he's been in bondage, he's just like this. And the wife is at fault, and she would fight to the last breath to deny that she had anything to do with it. And she had everything to do with it. And we've had cases in this assembly where the husband was a dead stick and the wife was alive in God, but she tried to be the Holy Ghost for him. We model him, we mold him, bring him up. I mean, she had a good heart, she just had a wrong head. And so we got together with him, and she was saying, now boy, now he's going to go, like, elders, pastor, give it to him. Give it to my husband. Let him know. And we turned to her and said, you are the one to change. Me? Unfail. Why should I change? I'm up in the glory. I'm believing God. It's him. Why point at me? We felt by the Spirit of the Lord, each one of us, we felt definitely to tell her this. The thing is, when the tantrum got over with, there was only a minor tantrum. There was an obedience to the pastor and a faith that said, all right, I don't understand this. It doesn't seem fair. It seemed like it was all his fault, but okay, here it goes. And when she starts to submit and do that, because you see, she had spiritual abilities to do some things. He couldn't do anything in the position he was in. But when she gets around to be where she should be, he starts blooming. And that's happened over and over again. And I've got a number of testimonies of that. Keith and Joanne, they've got a lot of testimonies back there of that. Some of you women who want desperately your man to be the man. When you learn how to operate, it will be. See, but I am submissive. You are outwardly submissive, but not inwardly. It's the tone of voice, how you say it, the way you do it, all these things. Sure, you'll do what he says, but he's going to detect that there is not a happiness to do it out of love for him and trust. I'll do it after I get through arguing and after I get through with my certain way of doing it, et cetera. And that is, see, he can see that. Now, no extra charge for that. We'll go on. It's this type of things that's caused the enemy of doubt and fears to begin to leave. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's liberty. And in that liberty, there's a freedom to think straight and get out of the cloud and begin to exercise faith and decisions like never before. See, repetition like this in songs is just like repetition in prayer. Why do you pray so much? I mean, when you go to pray, do you just say each thing once? No, you give lots of repetition. Over and over, you keep praying the same thing. Why? You have got to reinforce your mind. It isn't to get him willing. He's been willing long before you started to pray. That long prayer is not to get him willing. He is willing before you ever started. It's to get you in shape. It's to get you believing, dedicating, really meaning business, because the more you say it, the more emotions build. You know, you walk up to your sweetheart and you say, you're really, oh, I think you're beautiful. And she says, well, I think you're handsome. Well, something happens. A spark is ignited. But the more he says, oh, you know, she says, oh, yes. The more they get locked in, the more the emotion builds. The more you wait in the presence of the Lord, the more you love him, the more the faith and emotion and dedication to each other builds. See? And that's why, and this does the same thing prayer does, except you got music to it. So what's wrong with that? So I can see it in prayer, but I can't see it in this. Why? Because you've never seen it before? You're going to see a lot of things you've never seen before. The church has been dead and twice buried. You can't copy that. We're going to come out of the tombs and move on with God. I'm going to ask you a question. Be honest with me. When we were singing that song, what was it? I Am Free? Uh, Yeah, hallelujah, I am free. Was that what it was? Okay, my memory's about that long on some of these things like this. Oh, I mean, I enjoyed that so much. So much. I really took a hold of that. I want to know how many of you, be honest, when you were singing it, were thinking of specifics in your life and applying it to the specifics and saying, I am free in this. I am free. I'm going to be free in this. I'm believing that I am free. I'm going to have no more trouble in this. As opposed to just singing the tune and the song. How many can honestly say you were applying it? That's beautiful. That is beautiful. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. That's the way we get business from God. Don't sing things mechanically. Put yourself in it. And so some of the benefits when the Spirit moves like this, it loosens people up. It breaks the bondage. It breaks tradition. It breaks legalism. It frees you so God can do more in your spirit. Because you don't have a structured thing you're waiting for. As long as you're waiting for the next thing along, you can't really open up to this because you're going to be cut off real fast and go into this. As long as you don't kill and you go on and you just, well, the pastor will take care of it. See, that's really good for people to not figure that when is this going to happen. Many people like the person, you know, in a certain Pentecostal church, they were into this deep rut. And he was into this, he came and visited another church. And he hadn't visited another Pentecostal church. And he was sitting there and the service was going on. They were singing and doing things. He got more and more antsy. He just got, I guess, and pretty soon, the service was about 3/4 over and he was getting so nervous. And he nudged the guy next to him. He says, when's the Jericho March going to start? In his church, they always had that earlier. And you see what a rut people can get into? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. That's fine. Blessed is he that knoweth nothing about what I'm talking about. Okay. And that won't be understood by those who understand it. Hallelujah. I am full of faith about what God is going to do. And one reason I feel so good is because I can see the hunger, the faith, the decision, see, a lot of people, there's a certain fear. The fear is getting exposed, having those demons in you exposed. Because, see, I don't want to bear the shame of it. I don't want the shame of it. You tell me your secret? Nobody likes the shame of it. Nobody likes the shame. Nobody wants to do all those ugly things. Nobody. Most of what we dealt with hasn't been ugly. It's just been kind of a bondage. And a, you know, it hasn't been a real lashing out so far. But the wonderful thing is you have opportunity to get free. I mean, I just do not believe at this point of time, because I have seen too much otherwise. I mean, there are people that have got to go through certain things to get delivered because they won't otherwise. You see, God has got, some people will not get delivered until God spanks them. Until they're chastised, they will not believe. That's why God is allowing chastisement to come upon the church. But you know, you don't have to get chastised by God to do that. You could believe and obey and escape the chastisement. One person asked me, he said, well, do you have to go through all of this trauma and do you have to feel like so far? Do you have to go through, you know? I said, no, you know what that is? That's fighting. If you just yield, you come right on a cross. There are people, you know, they resist, they fight, they, so. No, if you just believe, there are people who come into God just like that. They just come to salvation and, okay, they just believe just like this. They don't go through all the turmoil. Same way with receiving the Holy Spirit. Same way with deliverance. Some people get deliverance just like that. I'm ready for it. Yes, Lord, here we go, and away they go. But, see, people say, well, how come we have to have all these? How come these demons are manifesting themselves? How come this? Well, when you're in a place, and this is my last statement, I think, when you're in a place where you say, this thing is in there, and you are commanded to go out, and you won't, you know, and that thing wants to contest, it wants to fight you, it does not want to leave you. But there is a place, oftentimes, where you have done so much business before God, that spirit can't stay in. It can't stay. But sometimes, you know, it has quite a bit of light sometimes. I mean, let me tell you why sometimes you have to fight it so hard. Because you have fallen in love with that spirit. You have loved it. Not consciously, but you've loved the feeling of it. You've loved everything it's given. You have married it. It's not going to divorce you easily. I mean, these flippant words, get out of here. So sure, your spirit man believes that, but do you believe that? So are you really willing? I'm not really sure you're really willing to believe that. You have not really totally given me up. You haven't even thought. I know what's in your mind. I've been listening to you. And your spirit man says, I want to be free. But you have never said, I want to be free at the cost. You've never really counted the cost. You've never really said, when I come back to you, you're going to take me back again. You really want me. I'm not going to just get out easy. I mean, you don't really hate me. You've got to hate me. You've got to make me. You haven't really made the decision for God yet and against me. See, I'm still too important to you. You want to get rid of me if it's easy. But it's not going to be easy. I'm going to stay here. I mean, there's certain types of things sometimes that are involved that make it difficult to get rid of a spirit because we have developed a real brotherhood with them. And they're going to fight you every tooth and nail until finally it reaches a certain peak where it really knows it's no longer wanted. It didn't take a hint easy, you see. It's like this fellow, you know, a cartoon I saw. This guy was thrown out of, he went to see his girlfriend, and her father came to the door, and I seen the picture thrown out under the sidewalk, and he got up and brushed himself off, and he went back and pounded at the door, and this picture showed him a slip out, and he whams on the sidewalk, and he gets up and he dusts himself up, and he comes back and he pounds at the door again, and this thing's thrown out into the street, and he gets up and he says, okay, I can take a hint. See? And that's about the way the devil is. That's about how fast he takes a hint. I mean, he has got to know you really don't want him. At what service will the evening services begin this week? As I said before, 7:30. Praise the Lord. We do have a lot of questions we will be answering, some perspectives to be bringing along these lines. Monday night, but we're not going to have any Woody Terry service and so forth before that time, so I think we can hold out to Monday night. And the Lord willing, that's what we'll be doing at that particular time. I just felt tonight that I should be sharing this type of thing of faith and this type of thing after service and not try to get into a lot of questions and answers tonight, but the Lord willing, tomorrow night we'll do that. Also, you will be hearing from Joanne Gunn before they go back, so don't worry. Some people, of course, wondering, will we be hearing from Joanne? We will. Just trust us. We know. We know she's here. You'll hear from us. I know the Lord who raises up in to ask a question tonight before we dismiss. You may be seated a moment. How many of you all going to the evening Bible college? I want you to stand, please. I want to vote from you. There's the registrar assistant asked a question here. Would you rather extend your Bible college